This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Friday, the real Friday, July 8th, and today's pod is the best one yet.
This is a TBOI, Nick.
TBOI. It is Friday, but Jack has sprained a ligament in his right dorsal toe.
I did. My foot's hurt. I'm playing hurt today.
Yes. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach.
We're still doing T-Boy Live on Instagram today at 3 o'clock Eastern Time.
Just like Vin Diesel said, the show must go on.
No amount of metatarsal pain is going to stop this show, Nick.
Jack, quit that hobbling and tell us our first story over there.
Radio Shack went bankrupt 7 years ago. Then it went bankrupt again. But its Twitter account has never been more alive.
But Jack, does crazy convert into cash?
That's the question. For our second story, Virgin Galactic stock jumped 12% because it has a new way to send you to space.
They call it a mothership. Jack and I are calling it a little brother ship.
For our third and final story, if you want to return that turtleneck you got at Target, they don't even want it. Just keep it.
Keep it. It is the return of the end of the returns again.
But before we hit that wonderful mix, Nick.
Honestly, this is a perfect mix, and you are being a team player. Look at you. You're so stable over there.
Thank you, Nick. But is anyone going to a wedding this weekend?
Yeah, Yetis, if you're going to a wedding this weekend, pay close attention to the altar.
Let's look closely at the wedding party, because they're mostly like high school buddies, college buddies.
Yeah, and then you got that one weird cousin mom made her include.
Vivian! But some of that wedding party is on the clock. Some of that wedding party is getting paid to be there.
Some of those bridesmaids were hired bridesmaids.
We just read an article written by a professional bridesmaid.
Literally, she has maid of honor on her resume. She started a paid bridesmaid business.
Yeah, she did. She's charging $2,000 per ceremony for brides who don't have enough close friends or aren't super type A.
Must have experience holding veils and holding Tammy's hair in the bathroom.
Claire Cleary, she seems cool on LinkedIn, but can she tear up on demand?
So Jack, what are the positives of being a pro bridesmaid?
Free cake, free drinks, free dancing, free raw bar.
Jack, what are the negatives of being a pro bridesmaid?
Well, you gotta work late Saturdays, you're hungover on Sunday, and that rehearsal dinner speech, it was awkward.
You made it all up. And get this, besties, pro bridesmaids, they get invited to the bachelorette party too.
That's right, for an extra fee, that professional bridesmaid will plan the naughty Nashville weekend.
So if you just shelled out $3,000 in cash to go to the Amalfi Coast for a destination 5-day wedding weekend, then remember this.
You could have been paid $3,000 instead.
Jack, let's regret our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
Anderson.
For our first story, Radio Shack. They went into bankruptcy, but their Twitter account just went rogue.
Crazy does get you followers.
It does.
Not necessarily conversions.
Jack, if you didn't get your brick-sized yellow Game Boy from Radio Shack, where did you get it, man?
Dongles, wires, floppy disks, CD burners.
Yeah, it's 1996. Jerry at Radio Shack is going to hook you up.
Radio Shack was worth 6 lifts back in 2007.
Not too shabby.
They had thousands of stores just a few years ago.
But then Radio Shack went bankrupt in 2015. And then Radio Shack went bankrupt in 2017, too.
We went to their Wikipedia page and we control F'd the word bankruptcy. It's mentioned 60 times.
Yeah, more than they mention the word revenue, sales, or valuation.
Now, right before the pandemic, however, Radio Shack got resuscitated.
Yeah, get this. A company called Retail E-Commerce Ventures acquired the Radio Shack brand because they thought there was more value in the Radio Shack brand than in the Radio Shack business.
Here's what Retail E-Commerce Ventures does. They buy bankrupt companies with recognizable brands, and then they try to sell stuff under those recognized brands online.
Yeah, they've got some classics here. Like, looking at the lineup now, they own Modell's, Pier 1 Imports, Linens and Things, and now they own Radio Shack's brand.
But all the attention right now isn't on Radio Shack's brand.
Right.
It's on their Twitter account.
And this is what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. The Radio Shack Twitter account is tweeting like it was hacked by a horny 12-year-old who likes spitballs.
Honestly, couldn't have said it better, Nick. Salacious, wild, vulgar.
Jack and I pulled up some examples like we were going to tell you on the podcast. We don't even feel comfortable saying them on air.
The CMO defended this new Twitter account, saying that it's anti-corporate speak.
Yeah, but if Siskel and Ebert looked at this, they'd give it like an NC-17 rating.
It's very trollish, but it is getting engagement.
Right, Jack, what were the numbers?
It grew 114,000 followers on Twitter in just days.
Couple of their tweets are getting 40,000 likes.
Lizzo retweeted Radio Shack. Miley Cyrus retweeted Radio Shack.
Ironically, Amazon is what put Radio Shack out of business, but Radio Shack is getting more press than Amazon this week.
Shocker, though. Inflammatory tweets are getting high engagement.
Those Twitter algorithms, they're pretty predictable. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Radio Shack?
Crazy gets followers, but not necessarily conversions.
Yetis, the end goal of any brand's social media account is ultimately to drive sales to the business, indirectly or directly.
Are Radio Shack's dirty tweets driving sales?
That's the question.
We don't see evidence of it.
Okay, so it looks like these tweets have boosted Radio Shack awareness, but they haven't boosted the price of Radio Shack's cryptocurrency. Oh yeah, they launched a cryptocurrency too.
It's true, they did. So Radio Shack's Twitter account, they built up followers, but followers aren't dollars.
Yeah, in an increasingly digital age, the number of followers, the number of likes, the views, that seems incredibly important, and it is.
And followers, likes, and views, they have value for sure. But brands do need to get paid, too.
Radio Shack shows us that crazy gets followers, but not necessarily conversions. For our second story, Virgin Galactic, it just jumped 13% because it's unleashed the mothership.
One wing is worthless.
Yeah.
Two wings makes a plane.
Virgin Galactic, owned by Richard Branson, who when he isn't jet skiing off Antigua, he's running a $2 billion rocket tourism company whose stock is down 90% so far in the last year.
Like every other stock.
Like every other stock.
But big update, before you buy one of the $200,000 tickets to go into space on one of these spaceships,
Virgin just announced they are launching a mothership.
A mothership.
Yeah, yeah. And we know what you're picturing here because, Jack, I know what you were picturing. Can you share? What were you thinking when you heard this story?
We're picturing Independence Day when Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum get together and, like, insert a nuclear bomb into that gigantic spaceship to save the world.
Right, because, like, the alien mothership was, like, bigger than a continent. It was huge. It was overtaking the world.
The only other thing we think of is a Death Star.
Right.
Which has, like, dozens and dozens of Imperial Star Destroyers coming at it.
So the way Jack and I are seeing this, hey, if Richard Branson, the billionaire, is going to launch a mothership, this thing is going to be like a whole planet with DJs and cool hotels and like 10,000
jet skis. It's going to be fantastic. But Nick,
lovely.
Was Virgin's mothership like that?
No, it wasn't.
Is it big?
Not really.
Does it go up in space?
No, it doesn't.
Virgin's mothership, Yetis, it's a glorified plane.
Yeah, this thing takes off on a runway like a plane, and it flies super high, kind of just like a plane.
The part where the mother happens is when it's up really high in the sky. It releases a smaller ship, the baby ship, if you will, which is a rocket that can finish the journey up into space itself.
It feels, therefore, like a marketing move, but it's really a financial move.
Because this mothership lets a space tourism company scale a very unscalable thing.
And Jack, what is that unscalable thing?
Space tourism.
Yetis, this one mothership is going to let Virgin go from doing like a handful of flights to 200 flights per year.
And it's making two of them. So yeah, two moms can do 400 flights a year.
400 flights a year, not too shabby. That means they're taking off one per day, maybe two on Saturdays, because, you know, you got to have that mothership matinee.
And this is all starting in 2025 when the two motherships are in service.
Now, Jack and I should point out one thing here. Virgin's long-term profitability does depend on this mothership.
But someone else is making this mothership for Virgin.
Yeah, it's like the mothership got itself a surrogate. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Virgin Galactic?
One wing is worthless. Two wings make a plane.
Besties, Virgin Galactic is a space tourism company, but it isn't manufacturing its most important product.
Boeing is. The 100-year-old American publicly traded airplane company is.
What we're saying is that Virgin and Boeing are going Dutch on Virgin's most important product. They're splitting the responsibilities to compete with Bezos and Elon.
Virgin Galactic will do the design, engineering, and final assembly of this mothership.
Boeing, they're going to put together the chassis, which is what Boeing, the airplane company, does best.
So stocks of both companies jumped on news of this partnership.
Because one wing is kind of worthless. Two wings, though, that makes a plane.
And now a word about our sponsor, Robinhood.
So for the last 3.5 years, Jack and I were running a startup within a startup, basically.
We turned our company, Market Snacks, into Robinhood Snacks, the news arm of Robinhood.
And at Robinhood, we co-hosted the Snacks Daily Pod that you got to know and love.
At Robinhood, we also got to hire an awesome team of news people who run the Robinhood Snacks newsletter.
Wild fact here, the biggest newsletter in America, Robinhood Snacks.
A key detail, though, not many are aware of, is the editorial independence.
So Jack and I set it up so that we could independently cover the most interesting and most important news stories of the day.
Robinhood's commitment to free, digestible news snack style was an awesome differentiator.
Yeah, if you're not investing in Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/tboy and choose a free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY.
Certain limitations apply. All investments involve risk.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
By the way, Robinhood is no longer affiliated with us or the podcast.
For our third and final story, we're talking to you about online returns. Because stores are sick and tired of you returning things, they're tired of your returns.
Welcome to the era of just keep it.
Honestly, Jack, Ma and I like are running a fulfillment center in our living room right now. You know,
every seriously. Time I'm in your car, there's like two packages in the back that you have to return.
Go to return that slamming salmon turtleneck sweater. H&M is saying, hey, just keep it.
That's the development. We covered a strange phenomenon almost 2 years ago on this pod.
We did.
If you want to return something you bought online, companies were telling you, just keep it.
Yeah, because it was so expensive to process your return during the pandemic, Walmart just didn't want it back.
Think about a return. Walmart has to pay to ship that sweater back. Then they have to inspect the sweater. And then they have to repackage it and put it back on a shelf in aisle 6.
Instead, just keep it.
There's a new development in this story, though.
Yeah, there
Even
is.
Even more stores are telling you to just keep it now, but for a new reason.
Okay, Jack and I jumped in T-Boy style. Looks like Target, Gap, American Eagle. They all just said on their earnings calls, they got too much inventory. They got too much stuff.
The slowdown in consumer spending has led to huge excess supply of shirts and Gap sweatshirts.
Yeah, returns. We just told you they already were expensive. But now there is literally no room in aisle 6 for your slammin' salmon sweater return.
You can't tuck in that turtleneck.
No, you can't. So what Jack and I are noticing is just keep it.
You get your money refunded.
Yeah.
And you get to keep the thing that you didn't want.
Cue Craigslist. We literally have a rejuvenation coat hanger right now if anyone wants it. We tried to return it. They said just keep it. So we tossed it on Craigslist.
Now, stores aren't always going to tell you to just keep it. There's different return policies for different types of items.
In particular, it's the bulky items that are most expensive to ship back that are getting the just keep it treatment.
Right. That West Elm patio table you got, it's big. It's heavy. They'd need like a fleet of sled dogs to get that back to the fulfillment center.
So here's $150 back for that patio table. Just keep it.
Another item bad for returns is anything made of cloth.
That cashmere Speedo, we don't want to sanitize it. Just keep it.
But expensive items?
Okay, Jack.
You're going to have to send that back.
Yeah, that iPhone 18. You can't just keep that.
Send it back.
Uh-huh.
Nice try.
Yeah. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in everyone who's a retailer?
There's a costly economic underbelly of e-commerce.
Okay, Yetis, we have all been taught that e-commerce is the inevitable future of retail.
Selling online is cheaper and lower priced because it cuts out middlemen, there's no sales team to pay for, and there's no expensive stores.
But here's what Jack and I find fascinating about this. Behavioral economics may change the math on this. And why is that, Jack?
Because you are 4 times more likely to return an item if you bought it online instead of in the store.
And those returns are more expensive than you think, and they're getting even more expensive.
4 times more returns is brutal. Because retail experts say that a return costs 15 to 30% of the sales price on average.
Yeah, because you got the cost to sanitize, the cost to repackage, and the cost to hire Brian and his biceps to refold and restock that turtleneck.
Well, that same retail expert said that profits are typically just 5% of the sales price.
Okay, if we jump in and do the math on that, if an item gets returned, that item is therefore an immediate loss, even if they manage to resell it.
In fact, that company has to sell 4 or 5 more items just to make up for that one turtleneck that got returned.
So, Yeti, that is why more and more online retailers are telling you, just keep it.
Because of the costly economic underbelly of e-commerce.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us before the weekend?
Radio Shack's Twitter account, no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Crazy gets you followers, not necessarily conversions.
For our second story, Virgin Galactic and Boeing are building 2 motherships, twin mothers, if you will.
1 wing is worthless, 2 wings makes a plane.
For our third and final story, online retailers are saying, fine, we'll refund you the money, but just keep it.
Because of the costly economic underbelly of e-commerce. A lot of consonants there, Jack. A lot of consonants. Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by Hannah Perkins from lovely Tucson Steaks, Arizona.
If you happen to be on a diet and you like mailing people letters,
okay,
look out.
Uh-huh, because get this, Yetis, each stamp you lick has a nutritional impact.
We were shocked to read this.
Sit down.
Well, you consume up to 5 calories.
Stand up.
Per lick of a stamp.
Sit back down again. How many calories per stamp, Jack?
5 calories per stamp. And that was confirmed by the Royal Mail of Great Britain.
Besties, if you think that adhesive tastes a little sweet, it's because it is.
Now, we should point out that you also probably burn a calorie or two by licking a stamp.
Now, we couldn't get that information, so like Jack and I don't know the net calorie effect of licking the stamp while licking the stamp.
But Her Majesty's Royal Mail confirmed that each stamp contains as many calories as 2 Tic Tacs.
We'll let that lie there. Yetis, you looked fantastic all week. And remember, if you were at a wedding this weekend, you could have been getting paid for that wedding, man. You could have been getting paid.
Let's regret our 3 stories.
Celebrate some wins. Jack and I will HYHTBOY see you on Monday. And before we go, happy birthday to Ethan Reichenberg, who's celebrating his birthday at Six Flags, probably on a roller coaster right now.
And Gloria Steiner got her visa approved and just moved to Santa Monica. Congrats.
And Alberto Rojas just got promoted, but owes Gabby a lunch for helping him get the job.
Congratulations to Sam Potato Bratton and Nancy Claire, who just got engaged in Birmingham, Alabama.
And Chris and the Slightly Stupid Band, congrats on kicking off your 14th year in a row in Montana for that summer tour.
And shout out to the guys at Neighborhood Merch, who just relaunched their startup over the weekend.
And Ania is at her Unilever internship, turning 23, in New York City.
And a big happy 10th birthday to Kedar Shaker in Duval, Washington.
And Michael Torbert, enjoy the birthday down in Houston.
To anybody else celebrating something today, make it a T-boy.
Celebrate the wins.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Unilever, and Nick and I both own stock of Robinhood.
And now a word about our exclusive sponsor, Robinhood.
Look, we're not tech guys. We're not engineers. Nick, I'm no product manager.
You look great, but we're not technically. When our computer's not working, Jack and I turn it off and then we turn it back on again.
But when we moved to California to join Robinhood, we were in tech's mecca.
So we were soaking up as much about the tech industry as we could.
One thing we saw about the tech industry at Robinhood was insane customer focus.
Every product launched, every tweak made to the app was a laser-focused move on customers.
Robinhood would be interviewing hundreds of users to figure out if one tweak of one button in the app would improve the experience.
Inside of Robinhood, we saw that everything the company did was focused on the best outcome for you, the customer.
If you're not investing on Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/TBoy and choose a stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY.
Certain limitations apply. All investments involve risk.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
By the way, Robinhood is no longer affiliated with us or this podcast.
If you like the best one yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.